welcome to our weekly Persuasion Negotiation Influence Call. My name is Kerr Mortensen. I am not in front of a computer today, so those are doing via the internet, so we're international. We'll have to answer your questions later as we go through and get you another persuasion tool. So let's spend, 10, 15 minutes talking about various tools of persuasion and influence, and then take any questions. The questions via the net I'll have to respond to later. Those can be submitted at whypersuasion.com. And let's get into it. Hope you're getting ready for 2013, making sure this is your year. And, of course, the more you can persuade and influence, the better the year is going to be. Best way to double your income is to double your ability to persuade and convince other people. So welcome to the call. The recording will also be posted at whypersuasion.com. And any updates or notices, or if I get stuck in an airplane, will also be posted there, too. So last week we talked about one of the 12 laws of persuasion, the law of balance. The balance between emotion and logic. Get a few questions about that I need to address and get you a little more information on that. I was just reviewing a website and reading the sales copy, and it was very logical and very methodical, but remember, we are moved, we are persuaded by emotion, and once the emotion's gone, we need to have the logic. So most of the time, we need to lead with emotion. Emotions what persuade. Emotions are easier to process. Because if you're using a lot of logic, what that does is it makes us start thinking more. And it takes so much cognitive or mental energy that we tend to tune out or turn off. Emotion is easy. It's easy to feel emotion. It just kind of happens. We don't have to think it through. But it's still, we need a combination of both. So one of the questions I received was about, okay, we know we need a balance. How do we balance that? So I'm going to kind of give you a formula here to help you out, whether you are doing a presentation, whether you're writing a sales copy, whether you're presenting one-on-one or to a whole audience. The formula is very simple, and this is based on watching hundreds of persuasive presentations and kind of categorizing what they're doing to put it into a formula. That's what I like to do. Okay, that was persuasive. Why was it persuasive? How does the average person learn how to do that? So let me give you a formula on how to create a persuasive presentation, which is also a way to create persuasive copy, sales copy. Now, the thing you need to know about sales copy is that it's easier than you think. You can take a great persuasive presentation, write it out word for word, and that's great sales copy or persuasive copy on the internet or even in a letter that you send. So they're very, very similar. Persuasive presentation and sales copy are pretty much identical as far as the formula that you are going to use. Now, with anything, of course, you need to create a headline, whether it's on the internet or your email address or the title of your presentation. That's the first thing you need to have. That either spells out the benefits that they're going to learn or arouses curiosity. And that's very important on a website because you only have 2 to 3 seconds to grab someone's attention, and the headline leads them into the copy, it leads them into the presentation. So that's, we'll put that to the side, but that's a given. You need to have a great headline to grab or subject line to grab their attention. So let's go through the formula then. So the first thing you need to have is, number one, right, create interest. You have, once they've got them onto your website, you have to create interest. That is known, you've heard it before, the what's in it for me, why should I care, why should I listen, why should I spend the time, what's in it for me. You've got 30 seconds to really grab their attention and get them interested to know that they are going to benefit from reading this information. Very important you know how to do that. You are there to grab their attention. So they know if they spend time on your website or your presentation or over the phone, it's going to be worth their while. And that's the focus. So that's one that logically sounds simple, but emotionally, remember, you really got to grab their interest. So what is it that you can say or do? And sometimes we can... talk about wealth or health here, a few of the things that's going to help them out. So grab their attention. That's number one. You create interest. Number two is you need to state the problem. As a persuader, you're a problem solver. You need to remember that. They're searching you. They have a problem, and you're there to prove to them that you're going to solve their problem. So you're going to state the problem. So the problem is something they need to fix. So let's say, do an example here before. If you are doing maybe a health product, create interest. Or if you were doing a financial product, or even maybe say a home-based business, create interest. You're tired of working at a dead-end job, or tired of not having job security and not getting paid what you're worth, would be create interest. The problem being, okay, you're working at a job that you don't like, you're not ready for retirement. What are the three things you need to know to make more money? So that's number two, state the problem. Number three, you need to offer evidence. What's the evidence? 97% of Americans are not ready for retirement. Why is that? What are they doing wrong? So you're offering the evidence. The fourth one is you provide the solution. Well, here's the solution. I have this business. I have this internet model that you could follow to make money at home. I have ways for you to make money on the internet. That would be the solution. And the fifth one, the most important, is call to action. What do you want them to do? So when you're creating this, what you need to remember is before you do any type of writing or information on a webinar or a presentation, you do the call to action first. Not in the delivery, but in the creation mode. So when you're creating, you decide what do you want them to do, and your whole presentation's geared around getting them to do what you want them to do. But you need to decide that first. Everyone does the opposite. They do the whole thing, then they do the call to action. No. Call to action, what do you want them to do, and build the whole presentation around it. And the key thing with that is make sure it's simple, it's easy to understand, that they know exactly what you want them to do. It shouldn't surprise them that you're going to ask them for their business or ask them for money. If it does, you've blown your whole presentation. Also, remember a big complaint from the people I interview after you've tried to persuade them is that when a lot of time persuaders, when they get not so much online copy, but face-to-face or over the phone, when people get to the call to action, that's the moment of truth, their demeanor tends to change. They get a little more serious, and it kind of freaks out the prospect because they don't know, wait a minute, who's the real person? They're seeing two different people. Remember, you're persuading the whole time. Your call to action is only 5% of the presentation. It shouldn't surprise them what you want them to do. And that's the moment of truth. That's why you spent the time to persuade them. The call to action, make it simple, make it easy for them to understand. Because a lot of times at the call to action part, especially when we're talking about our product or service, we tend to data dump. We tend to vomit on people. We tend to give people too many options. And that's something you need to be aware of. If you're going to, people like to choose. They like to be autonomous. And so a lot of times we give options. Do you want package A, B, C, D, E, or F? Now, if you give too many options, they're going to get overwhelmed. They're going to get confused, and a confused mind says no. We've talked about that. Here's what you need to understand. Great thing about options is people feel like they're choosing for themselves. Because if they feel like they're getting backed into a corner with an option, a lot of times there'll be resistance. Just like the elderly lady, the doctor told her to take her medication every morning for breakfast. And she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. Kids try to get her to do it. She wouldn't do it. And they finally took her to another doctor who said, okay, we have this medication. You can either take it with your breakfast or your dinner. The doctor didn't care. It didn't matter. She was able to choose. She chose to take it with her dinner. And that's important about choices is make sure they all win for you. And the key thing here, too, is only give people two to three choices. Two to three choices. The studies are abundant that if you go past that threshold, it's too much. How many perfumes can you smell before you just can't remember what the first one smelled like? This is an actual study with jellies. So Saturday at a supermarket, they set up a table, and they had 17 jams and jellies. They said, try the 17, tell us which one you like the best, and here's a coupon for the one you like the best. 17 jams. Then the next weekend, they tried it with 3 jams. And when they did it with 3, the people that redeemed their coupon was more than double the amount of people when there were 16 jams because it's too much. Another example, I was working with a financial planner that specialized in mutual funds. Now, there are hundreds of thousands of different mutual funds. And so the first meeting was, okay, tell us about your investment criteria. What do you think about this? What about that? And they would come back for a second meeting. And I was monitoring these meetings. And the second meeting, he said something like this. Well, based on your financial criteria and your investing goals, here are 77 mutual funds that will work for you. No, too much. You need 2 or 3. If you're pushing it, maybe 4 or 5. But you never, never, never want to get past 6 or 7. I'm always going to recommend 2 or 3. Let them choose, and that will be helpful to them. So that's kind of your basic structure. You create interest. You state the problem, which is a portion where you can arouse, create dissonance. Number 3, offer evidence. 4, you provide the solution. And number 5, the call to action. Now, once you have that structure in place, we need to add the law of balance, the emotion and logic. Now, it doesn't matter where you add these things, but you need to make sure that every presentation has these 4 elements. I call it TESS. T-E-S-S. TESS. T-E-S-S. So every presentation you give or sales copy, you have to realize that you have to shoot down the middle, meaning there's different personalities. Because we tend to persuade others how we like to be persuaded. We tend to write copy how we like to read copy, and that is wrong. We need to shoot down the middle. For example, let me give you this example. I think we did it a few weeks ago. Let me give it to you again. To where if I'm doing a 3-day seminar on, let's say, negotiation, there's obviously going to be evaluations because we want to know how well we're doing or what we can improve. And it's interesting to read the comments. One comment will say, I love the group exercises, met a lot of good people, but there was sure a lot of scientific studies. And then the next one says, love the scientific studies, keep them coming, and they were fascinating, but there were too many group exercises, we didn't need to do that many. Okay? What that means is, one was a diehard analytical that didn't want to deal with people. One was a diehard amiable personality that didn't want all the scientific facts. And I'm okay with that. That means that we're doing okay because we're shooting down the middle. So whatever you do, presentation or do sales copy, follow the formula I gave you, but you need to add 4 things to balance emotion and logic and to make sure you're resonating with every personality. So TESS, T-E-S-S. So the T stands for testimonials. Write down testimonials. This is a logical side. Now, the key factor here is it somebody they know, somebody they respect? That makes the biggest difference with testimonials. Is it an industry leader, a respected author, a known celebrity? I mean, we shouldn't really listen to their endorsements, to their testimonials, but on a sad note, people do. So that could be one. Is it somebody they know, love, or respect? So love would be maybe it's a member of the family, maybe it's a neighbor they love or respect. So testimonials, somebody kind of giving you an endorsement. You're borrowing credibility there. So that's what T stands for. So somewhere within your presentation, probably with the offer evidence phase, you're going to do testimonials. Then there's the E. E stands for examples. Examples are powerful. You can use an example, a metaphor, a simile. The brain really resonates with those, and some personalities really grasp onto those. To where, you know, your personal development is like a hole in the bucket. Having visitors is like, I don't remember what, it's like having fish. Or, I don't remember how it goes, but there's fish, and they both start to smell after 3 days. Like a rock. You know, Serta uses sheep. The example of, I use not set, what it would be, we talk about personal development. I use the analogy of speed to wealth with a car. All of these things, the examples are powerful. When I teach goal setting, for example, most people have never learned how to do it. And I say, for example, that's like learning how to snow ski and say you don't need lessons. You put on skis and you ski down the mountain, what's going to happen? That makes it visual, comes alive. So examples, similes, metaphors. In fact, when I was doing charisma research, they found that charismatic people use a lot more metaphors and similes and examples than the average person. 3 to 4 times more, because it resonates and comes alive, especially to your, you know, your emotional people, emotional type personalities. So that's the E. The first S stands for statistics. We talked a little bit about this last week. Your diehard, logical, analytical people need these. They love them. But you have to pepper them sparingly because they'll tend to repel a lot of your amiable personalities. Make sure, though, your statistics are verifiable and you mention where they come from. Not I found on the internet or I heard once. Harvard University study shows that 3 out of 4 dentists, or whatever it is, do it, but make sure it's verifiable, you're using sparingly, and that it's believable. Now, in persuasion, I'll always teach, we're always truthful. We always, always, always tell the truth. But the truth is not always believable. You know, when you teach people real estate, you know, if you get good into real estate, you start making, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year, really getting at it. We have a lot of testimonials that say that, but if no one's ever done real estate, they'll realize the power of doing real estate, that might be too much. So make sure it's, you know, believable and truthful, and use them sparingly. Now, you can find statistics over the internet, make sure it's verifiable source. In fact, let me give you a website that's kind of unknown to a lot of people. It's still the beta version, but it's been beta for, I want to say, 5-6 years. I don't know if it'll ever be made public, but if you go to, this is done through Google, Scholar, just like the Scholar, a university scholar, so scholar.google.com is a great resource. What it does is it just Googles or searches academic-type reports, academic-type dissertations, where there's a lot of great statistics. And so that might be a good source. Government has a great source for statistics, depending on what you're doing. Wikipedia, no, not so much. That's not very credible for the world of statistics. Fourth and final one, and we talked about this, I want to say, a month or two ago. So the fourth one, the second S, is stories. This is your emotional aspect. Stories persuade without detection. We just put ourselves in the picture. We're living it. It's making it come alive. Be vivid in your details. Paint the picture. In fact, as I've interviewed people that have been persuaded, I said, well, what was it? They say, it's like listening to a movie. It's like watching a movie. It came alive. It was easy to listen to. They were a great storyteller. Wow, that's powerful. And stories will usually, and depends on your audience, will resonate with 50 to 60% of your audience. So if there's one that you want to put a star by that you need to have, it's stories resonate with most people. There's something about stories, you're telling stories, not lengthy stories, but relevant stories. Especially during your call to action, stories solve objections. So you have the story of, say you're selling life insurance, for example. I'm going to wait. You know, before they say they're going to wait, there's the story. Somebody put it off. They're going to wait. Life got busy. They forgot to do it. Terrible car accident. Of course, I would tell the story. I'm not giving the story justice. But that is power in the world of persuasion and influence. So that's TESS, T-E-S-S, testimonials, example, statistics, and stories. So you embed that within the structure I gave you earlier. I know I've given you a lot of information today, but I want to give you that structure, whether you are writing, you know, in sales copy or doing a presentation. They're very, very similar with what you are doing. And that'll help you balance the logic and emotion. That was based on some of the questions I received from last week's call, the implementation. And it's all, that's what this call is for, all about the implementation. So one thing I want would be very helpful for you to do, because there's two types of stories. There's stories that you can borrow, you know, get permission, and stories that you've lived. And so think about some of the top objections, concerns, or questions that you're getting from the people that you're talking to or will talk to, or you or if it's on the internet, maybe think that you think you'll get, and find a story that solves the objection. And that way you can pre-solve it before it happens. And I've told you time and time again that great persuaders pre-solve or inoculate, pre-solve objections before they happen, and you can do that with the story. You know, the person that waited, or the person that was skeptical, but they did it anyway, and now they're a millionaire, or the person that thought they could do it on their own, but they found out after 5 years and $500,000 that they needed to mentor with somebody. Whatever it is will go a long, long way. So that's something that you can do within your presentation. Excuse me. So, I'm not on the internet, so I can't, I'll answer those questions later. I can't answer them via the phone call today. I know a lot of you are doing Skype International, you're not able to communicate that well. But those that are on the phone, any questions or comments about what we talked about today, or things that you're running into, my time is yours. Anybody? Well, one question I can't address while you're thinking, if you have any other questions, is I mentioned inoculation. Someone had a question about that, how that do with the logic and emotion, and how to implement that. Here's an example of one that I use. So if I'm given a presentation, I believe that when you believe in your product or service, you have a moral and ethical obligation to persuade people. And one of the knee-jerk reactions a lot of times when people see presentations is, I'll get the book. I'll get the book. Now, that's fine for people, but we know people can't learn to ride a bike. They can't learn to play basketball with the book. It really doesn't. Books have a very poor success rate. But the knee-jerk reaction when I'm talking to in a seminar is, oh, I'll just get the book. I don't need to get the mentoring, I don't need to get the DVDs, I don't need to get the CDs, I'll just get the book. And that's a knee-jerk reaction a lot of people have. So the way I handle it, because I know, I mean, the book's a great start, and I don't mind selling books, but I do know that that's just an initial start for people. So this is what I do. I say, and I talk about personal development because I'm a big believer in personal development. I talk about, you know, a lot of people will read books, but here's the studies. The chances when you buy a book, the chances that you'll complete the book and apply at least one thing from it is less than 1%. Okay, so I'm planting that seed, letting people know the book's a great start, but you can learn the rules of basketball from a book, but you can't really learn to play the game until you have somebody walk you through it and mentor you. And that's the example I give to solve that objection before it even comes up, and that's what you want to do. So if you're getting it's too expensive, you want to embed a story or compare it to something else that is more expensive, like School of Hard Knocks. Or we see this with home-based business to where they compare it to opening a franchise. You know, franchise is $100,000. This is only $1,000, and it puts things into perspective. All right, any other questions? You guys are easy on me today. I apologize for not being online. That was not possible today, but we will be on next week. So at whypersuasion.com, I give them 24 hours to post the replay. Be downloadable if you want to take a look at that. also a spot to answer questions. I'll be able to do those, and those questions that came from today's webinars, I'll make sure to respond in the next 24 hours. And if there's something you really want me to focus on, but you didn't want to bring it up in class, you're more than welcome to put it on there and send it to me. It comes directly to me, and we can do that too. And the key is a little persuasion tool and how to apply it. So collect stories this week, relevant stories. If you think you have enough stories, the next thing I would add is start collecting testimonials. And, you know, it could be from a famous person like Dale Carnegie or Napoleon Hill. It could be an industry leader. It could be someone they know. That's why referrals are so powerful. And those are the things that will make a huge difference in your ability to present, your ability to persuade, and your ability to write sales copy. Because anybody can inform, but is it influential? Anybody can present, but is it persuasive? And that's where we shift the gears to be able to take your life and your income to the next level. So with that, thanks for listening, to whether it be a replay or via the net or over the phone. Make sure you apply the things that we're talking about. Have an incredible week, and go out and persuade with power. Good night, everyone.